It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel. All at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
On this week's edition of the RTC Weekly Download, our weekly podcast of old-time radio, we're going to feature two programs in the Western vein, and we'll follow that up with a comedy. But first off, it's going to be the All-Star Western Theater and Time to Ride, and we'll follow that with an episode of Gunsmoke, the premier adult Western on radio. And the comedy will come at the end, and that'll be a surprise, so stay tuned for that. But right now, the All-Star Western Theater from June 28th, 1947.
The Bakers of Weber's Bread present your All-Star Western Theater, produced and transcribed in Hollywood.
Drifting along, singing a song under a western moon.
From Hollywood comes your All-Star Western Theater, starring America's great western singers, Foy Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage, bringing you the music, the stories, and the spirit of the great open spaces. And now, here are the Riders of the Purple Sage.
Riding down to Santa Fe, just beyond the mountains and across the way. See that sun hang low in the west, o'er the land I'm loving the best. Here we go, my old fiddle, gotta see a preacher about a gal. So let's burn the trail and yonder we'll go. Riding down to Santa Fe, hey, riding down to Santa Fe. Riding down to Santa Fe, gonna see the boss and I'll collect my pay. Need $100 or more to get that ring she's been waiting for. Don't be slow, my old fiddle, she'll be there waiting at the door. So let's burn the trail and yonder we'll go. Riding down to Santa Fe, hey, riding down to Santa Fe.
Thank you, friends. When you make a trip through the West these days, you're apt to be surprised at the way in which the old has been combined with the new. Every city, including the big important ones, still takes pride in carrying on the tradition of Western hospitality. Yet even the ramshackle cafes of the most lowly cowtowns now feature a jukebox. The same brightly colored jukebox to be found in entertainment palaces throughout the land. But stop a while at a Western jukebox, and you're almost sure to hear this song, No One to Cry To.
No one to say good night, no one to tell my troubles to, no one to sigh to, no one to hold me tight, no one to cheer me when I'm I go home to my lonely room and find there's no one there. And each night I beg of you, please answer this one prayer. And give me someone to cry to, someone to say I do, someone to I love you. If I've done something very wrong, oh please forgive me, dear. Won't you promise from now on I'll always find you near? Please give me someone to cry to, someone to say I do, someone to whisper I love you.
certainly has changed. There aren't many of the old range-wise, saddle-toughened cowpokes left around these days, but like Foy said just a few minutes ago, that traditional Western hospitality hasn't changed a bit. Westerners still enjoy good living, and one of the most enjoyable parts of good living is eating, especially if the meal includes lots of good Weber's bread. Weber's bread is well-mixed and well-baked. Its golden brown crust, firm, even texture, and distinctive flavor just can't be beat. And another fine thing about good Weber's bread is its just-right moisture content that assures long-lasting freshness. Serve Weber's bread as toast for breakfast. Combined with your favorite sandwich filling or with the most elaborate meals, you'll find it's a sure hit with every member of the family. So next time you go shopping, be sure to buy a loaf of Weber's bread, that good bread in the familiar blue gingham wrapper. You'll like it.
Nobody ever saw a Western gal who couldn't dance. And when a gal dances, she wants rhythm. Well, here it is, Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Alexander's Ragtime Band. Come on here, it's the best band in the land. They can play a bugle call like you never heard before. So natural that you want to go to war. It's just the bestest band, lamb. Honey lamb, come on along, let me take you by the hand. To the man, who's the leader of the band. And if you want to hear that Swanee River play,
tell you a little secret about these riders of the Purple Sage. Waiting has been a mighty popular musical pastime in their family for a great many years. Great-granddaddy used to wait for the wagon. Grandpa would wait till the cows come home. Pa liked to wait till the sun shines, Nellie. Why, even Uncle George was always waiting for the Robert E. Lee. And here they are themselves, still planning to continue the family custom, for they sing, "Wait till I get my sunshine in the moonlight."
My sunshine in the moonlight. Wait till I get her neath the western sky. With the yucca and the sage all around to set the stage. And the stars are making faces in her eyes. Wait till she finds the moon above on my side. We'll get her beneath that cool Indian sun. Wait till I get my sunshine in the moon. That's when I'll make my sunshine mine.
I'm in love with sunshine, my darling little sunshine. But does she love me? I'd like to know. Soon I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna speak my mind out. The very next time the moon is low.
Wait till I get my sunshine in the moonlight. Wait till I get her neath the western sky. With the yucca and the sage all around to set the stage. And the stars are making faces in her eyes. Wait till she finds the moon above on my side. We'll get her beneath that good old Indian sun. Wait till I get my sunshine in the moonlight. That's when I'll make my sunshine. Reluctant little sunshine. That's when I'll make my sunshine mine.
Now it's time for Foy Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage to tell another story of the West. This week, it concerns some events which took place near the little town of Squaw Creek. We call it Time to Ride. The West is both a place and a spirit. The place is a mixture of deserts and valleys, clear skies and huge mountains. The spirit is friendliness and freedom. And there are men of the West, like these riders of the Purple Sage, who know freedom as no other men know it. They're vagabonds whose joy comes from the feel of nature, from a knowledge that a star holds more beauty than any man-made contrivance, and a saddle more comfort than any chair.
Before we get to where we're going, I want to warn you guys. No tricks and no funny business. You got to act like gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
No tricks at all.
Act like gentlemen, huh?
You heard me. This is a bride and groom we're calling on.
Boy, are you sure this is the right place?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, I thought you said Kit Woodford's pappy owns the Diamond S Ranch.
Yeah, he does. But there's talk around that Mr. Woodford's pretty sore because Kit married a ranch hand.
A fellow'd have to be awful sore to let his daughter honeymoon in a shack like that.
Hey, if you fellas noticed how run down this place is...
Boys! Howdy, boys!
Howdy, Kit!
Hello,
howdy,
Kit.
Gee, it's good to see you, boys.
Well, it's mighty good to see the bride.
Dan should be home any minute. I expected him before this. Come on in. I can show you the house before he gets here.
If Stan's doing something we could help at, Kit, we'd be glad to give him a hand.
Oh, no, he just rode over to see Dad. Well, here it is. Our house.
Say, this is something real.
Sure is.
Looks pretty good inside.
Stan's and mine. All of it.
Did you say Stan had gone to see your pappy, Kit?
Well, yes, why?
Foy told us your pappy was sore at Stan.
Johnny.
You did, Foy. You practically said her pappy kicked him out because she married Stan.
Johnny, Kit, I'm awful...
I should think you would blush, Foy Willing.
Oh, Johnny, you ain't got no more brains than an abandoned corral. You
what did I do now?
Oh, never mind, Johnny. Foy probably did tell you that. And the sad part is, it's true.
But the last thing we wanted was to make you feel uncomfortable, Kit.
Oh, I don't feel uncomfortable. I believe, and so does Stan, that Dad's jealous of us, that's all. He remembers how he and Mama were when they started out. They were going to live this way, too. But they didn't very long. Because Dad got all tangled up in wanting to own things.
Well, you don't seem to have changed much, Kit.
From the way I was when you worked for Dad and I'd come home and tell you things?
Yeah.
No, Foy, I haven't changed. I had to wait a long time before I found somebody who believes as I do. But Stan does.
Well, that's great.
We want to be able to look out this window here, see the mountains and say, let's ride over to the other side for a while. Both of us think that's a better way to live than to have a big house, not be able to ride to the other side of the mountain or do what we like because we haven't time for anything except cattle and money.
And I think you're right, too, Kit.
When it comes our turn to die, we want good things to remember, not to suddenly realize we live in a trap and have nothing except a lot of money we can't take along. Dad's going to do that, I'm afraid. Never had a time to see the stars or listen to a campfire crackle.
Well, there's Stan now.
He's playing tricks again, knocking. Come in, honey. I should pay no attention, but I can't. Honey, I know it's you.
Morning, Kit.
But Judge Moore.
Oh, visitors.
Oh, Judge, I thought you were Stan. I hope you'll forgive me for calling you honey.
What's that?
Oh, you know the boys. Foy Willing, Al Slowey, Johnny Paul.
Oh, yes, of course. Hello. Howdy, boys.
Howdy,
where's Stan, Kit?
Well, he went to the ranch to see Dad, as you suggested.
Yeah?
Hoping he'll be able to patch things up.
What time did he leave?
About 7 this morning. Why?
I have some bad news for you, Kit. Tragic news. I don't quite know how to put it into words.
Well...
It's your father, Kit. Your father's dead.
Oh, no.
I called to see him here at the ranch on business. Found him dying. He'd been shot. He tried to tell me how it happened, who did it, but the words wouldn't come. Well, Kit, I think I'd better be going back to the office now. Hate to stay at your daddy's ranch any longer than necessary now that he's gone.
Well, thanks for riding over with us, Judge Moore, and for bringing the news to her.
Not at all. If there's anything I can do to help you, Kit, just call on me. Your father and I were the best of friends, despite our little differences. Good day, boys.
Good day, Judge.
Oh,
along, Dad.
If she needs anything at all, boys, come right to me.
Oh, boy.
Take it easy, kid.
Will it be all right if I go in and see Dad now?
Well, I think we'd better ride back to your place and see if Stan is home yet.
Stan didn't do this, boy. He didn't.
Well, of course not. But we ought to find him as soon as we can. Find out if he knows anything about it.
He couldn't have, boy. He came here, but he...
Come on, we'll get the horses. Johnny.
Yeah?
Help Kit with hers, will you?
Sure. Come on, Kit.
Oh, I'm all right. I just don't want people to think Stan did it. Judge Moore's already hinting he did.
Here, Al. Keep this.
What is it?
Stan's pocket knife.
Huh?
See his initials carved in the handle?
Oh, yeah.
The judge and I found it lying near Mr. Woodford's body.
But Mr. Woodford wasn't knifed.
No, he was shot clean through the temple. And by a crack marksman. But there could have been a tussle first, and the knife dropped out of a pocket.
Oh, there's somebody at the house. Stan! Stan, is that you?
Howdy.
Oh, no, it's Vic Toole. Dad hired Vic to take Stan's place when Stan was fired.
Hello, Miss Kett. Boy.
Howdy. Vic, you haven't seen Stan, have you?
I saw him earlier in the day, and I'm looking for him again. Had a little difference of opinion, and I figured on settling it now.
Where was Stan when you saw him, Vic?
Prowling around the corrals of the ranch. I caught him red-handed. He said he was taking a few calves that belonged to you.
Well, I do have some calves at Dad's.
Yeah, well, I didn't like his attitude. Before we could settle things, your father told me to be about my business, said he'd take care of Stan. That don't go with me. I aim to handle my own troubles.
Where have you been the rest of the day, Vic?
What do you care?
Well, these are my boys here, Vic.
Three of you, huh?
Dad was killed this morning, Vic.
Killed? Your dad, Miss Kitt? Well, I've been on the range all day ever since I left Stan. Stan's the last person with your dad, as far as I know.
Have you got any way of proving you were riding all day?
Not a thing, Willie. When I prove where I was, it'll be to a sheriff, not you.
Hold on now.
Before I do anything else, I'm going to have a talk with Judge Moore. He got me this job. Said I'd have a tough time holding it, but he didn't tell me I was holding a job that a killer didn't want to lose.
Shall we go after him, boy?
No, let him go. We haven't anything on him. What we'd better do is wait here a little while for Stan. If he doesn't come within an hour, we'll go out and look for him.
Stan, boy. See, he's put his horse in the corral, and he's coming up to the house.
All right. Johnny, Al, you head for the front room. You too, Kit. I'll talk to Stan.
No, boy. It's my place to be with Stan. I'll be fair about it, really, I will. Let me talk to him alone.
Well, all right, Kit.
He didn't kill Dad. I know Stan like I know myself.
Come on, Al, Johnny. We'll go to the front room.
Okay, let's go.
You here, Kit?
Hello, honey.
I expected you'd come out to meet me.
Stan, where have you been all day?
Oh, first I saw a blonde lady dude, and she took a shine to me. Then I saw a brunette lady dude, and
oh,
she took
Stan,
a shine.
Stan, I mean it. I have to know.
What's the matter, honey? Something wrong?
Where were you all day?
Well, I went over to your dad's this morning. I sort of lost my nerve about talking to him at first, so I walked out to the corral to have a look at your calves. I got in a little argument about him with Vic, the top hand who took my job, and your dad booted me out.
And after that, Stan?
Well, your dad heard us. He came out of the house and sent Vic away. And then we had a little talk. Your dad and I.
What sort of a talk?
Oh, the usual thing, only more so. Just like always, he said he liked me fine as a top hand, but not as a husband to you.
And you flared up, did you, Stan?
Some.
How much?
Well, I suppose I may as well tell you, honey. Your dad and I had a pretty fair wrangle.
But how much of a wrangle, Stan?
Maybe I can help him out, Kit.
Who is this man, Kit?
Boy Willing.
Boy Willing? Oh, gee, I forgot you were coming. Kit reminded me early this morning, and
is
I had
yours?
To go... Why, yes, that's my knife. How did you get it?
When was the last time you saw this knife, Stan?
I suppose you answer my question first. How did you get it? I... Say, Kit, what's the matter with everybody today? Why so edgy?
Stan, Dad has been... killed.
And this knife was found beside his body.
Oh, not your dad, Kit.
Judge Moore knows it was there, Stan. So you better think up an answer. Fast. A good answer.
For that knife? Oh, I come to think of it, I loaned that knife to Judge Moore a couple of weeks ago. he wanted to get a rock out of his horse's hoof. I don't remember he ever gave it back.
All right. Johnny, I want you to go for the sheriff. Stan, I wish you'd stay here at the house. Don't let anybody try to make you leave.
Hey, what is this?
Kit, you and Al and I will ride in and see Judge Moore. We'll settle this thing fast. Al, you wait outside here in case you're needed.
Yeah.
Kit, before we go inside, there's something more I want to know.
All right.
Judge Moore and your dad have been the bitterest of enemies ever since they were rivals for your mother, back in their younger days. When did they get friendly again?
Just a few months ago. Boy, I tell you, Stan couldn't kill anyone.
Let's go in. You here, Judge Moore?
Hmm? Oh, good afternoon, Willie.
Go ahead, Kit.
Thanks.
Well, Kit, you're here, too. Now, what can I do to help you?
There's a few things she'd like to know about her father's death, Judge. And I guess you're the only man who can give us that information.
I'm glad to help in any way I can. Your daddy and I wasted a lot of time being enemies, Kit. I'll regret that to my dying day.
Did I understand you to say that you were with him when the shot was fired?
What? No. Oh, no, indeed. But I got there before he died. Tried to tell me who did it, but he was too far gone.
Just a coincidence. You happened to be at the ranch. Or were you there for some special reason?
Well, no, that's something I kind of hate to talk about at present, boy. Your dad called me out to his place, Kit. Said he wanted me to look over a new will he'd written.
A new will?
Yes, I have it right here somewhere. It was all written when I got there. Your daddy just wanted to make sure it was legal and binding. Oh, here we are. We skipped the first part for the time being. This is what will interest you. If at the time of my decease, my daughter, Kitty Woodford Bell, has not divorced her husband, Stanley Bell, then my estate shall be used to establish an institution for homeless boys, with my ranch used as headquarters for the aforesaid institution, and Judge Fremont Moore shall be the sole administrator for the entire...
Never mind the rest, Judge.
Huh?
You may be the best lawyer in these parts, but you're not the smartest killer.
Boy!
Killer?
You gave yourself away when you first told us Mr. Woodford was dead. I wasn't sure what your motive could have been then, but the will told us. You wanted to control his fortune.
Better watch what you're saying, Fire Willie.
You claim Mr. Woodford tried to talk to you before he died. That was impossible. The bullet went straight through his temple. He died instantly.
Willing, I'd advise
you... You made another mistake, too. You forged that will. But in forging it, you wrote Kit's name down as Kitty. If you hadn't have had that long quarrel with her father, you'd have known her right name is Kit, in honor of Kit Carson. Before Mr. Woodford got tangled up and wanted to own things, he admired the free way in which Kit Carson lived. He vowed he'd name
You'd better reach for the ceiling for her. You too, Kit.
Oh, yeah?
You're too smart for your size, and I'll have to cut you down a little.
I wouldn't if I were you, Judge. There's others who know about this. How carefully it was planned. From making up your quarrel just at the time Kit was married. From borrowing Stan's knife and never returning it. All the way to hiring your own man as Mr. Woodford's new top hand. And getting Stan to go out to the ranch on the morning you meant to do the killing.
Get everything figured out, haven't you?
All right, Judge.
Huh?
Put him up.
Oh, you don't.
Get him, Al. Rush. We want him alive. You can bet a month's pay, Sheriff. We're glad to get rid of him.
Nice haul, boys. Nice haul. Forgery and murder. Come on, Judge. Reckon we'll have to hang you a couple of times.
Oh, Kit, darling.
Oh, everything's all right, Stan. Now.
Oh, it'll always be all right.
With me, it ain't all right, even now.
Keep your pie bill closed, Johnny. Can't you see this is a sentimental moment? We had a fine time, Kit. I sure hope we get invited again.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
especially when you move over to the big white house on the ranch.
Oh, I don't think we'll be moving there, Al.
But the will was a forgery, wasn't it? Won't you get your dad's property?
Yes, I guess so. But if Stan will agree to it, I'd like to use the property in starting a place for homeless boys. That seemed like a good idea to me. Will you agree, Stan?
Why, sure, honey.
Well, that's mighty nice of you.
No, Foy, it's selfish, really. We weren't pretending when we said all we wanted out of life was time to see the stars, to ride over to the other side of the mountains.
Oh, I didn't think you were pretending, Kit.
The property, the money, would stop us from doing what we want. And as long as everybody still has a right to pursuit of happiness, I think we'll do our pursuing in our own way.
It's still pretty nice of you and Stan, Kit. Well, boys, I guess we'd better be moving along now. You see, Kit, we're pretty much like you and Stan. We like time for riding along, too.
Roy and the boys were just a little too smart for the judge, and they got their reward in the knowledge of having seen justice done, and also being invited to a dandy home-cooked meal. Good food, you know, is traditional among Western folks. Today, Westerners like to take time out once in a while and take off for the mountains or the beach on a good old-fashioned picnic. The next time you go picnicking, be sure to take plenty of sandwiches made with good Weber's bread. Its just right moisture content assures long-lasting freshness. You can pack the lunch early in the morning, drive to your destination, and even if it's afternoon before you eat, you'll find those sandwiches made with good Weber's bread are still fresh and delicious to taste. And good Weber's bread is equally fine for toast in the morning or when served with a full-course dinner at night. Weber's bread is always good bread. Buy a loaf the next time you shop. You'll like it.
On each of these programs, Foy Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage make a point of finding a special place for a truly great song of the West. Your opinions help them a great deal in making these selections. And today, they've chosen Home on the Range because so many of you have said it was a favorite. Home on the Range.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Oh, give me a land where the bright diamond sand flows leisurely down the stream, where the graceful white swan goes like a maid in a heavenly dream. Then I would not exchange my home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
Well, that's about it for this time, friends. We hope you'll be with us again next week. This is Foy Willing speaking for Al Sloy, Gene Walsh, Johnny Paul, and all of the Riders of the Purple Sage, saying so long and good luck to you all.
Drifting along, singing a song under a western moon.
From Hollywood, you've heard your All-Star Western Theater, a V.M. Bear production starring America's great western singers, Foy Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage. The script was by Ray Wilson, direction by Tom Hargis. This is Terry O'Sullivan speaking.
Bakers of Weber's Bread have presented your All-Star Western Theater, which was produced and transcribed in Hollywood and came to you from Columbia Square.
Columbia Square in Los Angeles, so it may have been a Western and it may have come from the West, but not from the old range. Hey, we have an announcement here that I'd like you to listen to, and it concerns a special coming up on the Radio Theater Channel. If you're an old-time radio fan and you really do like the people who are behind the making of these radio programs, well, then this is something you might be interested in, so lend an ear to this, my friend. Something special happened on April 17th, 18th, and 19th in Bellevue, Washington. The Reps Showcase 2015 with Joan Binney, Tommy Cook, Ivan Curry, Gloria McMillan, Terry Moore, Stuffy Singer, and Beverly Washburn. 2 days of great performances, great radio recreations, and wonderful panels on Jack Benny, as well as a tribute to Stan Freeberg. Those of you who were there know what a great show it was. Here's good news. The entire Reps 2015 Showcase will be re-aired on the Radio Theater Channel starting on June the 22nd through the 26th, starting Monday the 22nd at 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, and 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific, with a repeat at 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time, and 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific, and repeated once again on Saturday and Sunday at 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it. It's a 2015 Reps Showcase special rebroadcast on the Radio Theater Channel. That guy sure sounds familiar. The Radio Theater Channel, the place to listen to continuous old-time radio streaming from www.oldtimeradiolisten.com. Promise Gunsmoke, and I'm giving it to you right now. This is called No Sale, and it's from August the 26th of 1956.
Brought to you by L&M, the modern cigarette that lets you get full, exciting flavor through the modern miracle of the pure white miracle tip. Live modern. Smoke L&M. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Chester.
Oh, Kitty.
Hello, Miss Kitty.
I'm looking for your partner, Kitty.
Oh, Sam?
Mm-hmm.
He's in back breaking out a shipment of whiskey we just got. Sit down. He'll be here in a few minutes.
Okay.
Sam in trouble, Matt?
Oh, no, Kitty. I just wanted some information from him. It's nothing important.
Well, that's good. Who are those two men?
Oh, you're just... I don't know. They're strangers to me.
That one wearing a gun, I'd like to keep a stranger.
Where is the owner of this place?
You don't look like he's going to make nobody happy.
Hey!
Excuse me.
Let Sam take care of him, Kitty.
Well, that's my job, too.
Go get the owner, miss. We want to talk to him.
I'm one of the owners.
You?
What is it you want?
Well, we can't do business with no woman, Breeze.
And what's wrong with doing business with a woman, mister?
Well, it ain't fitting, that's all.
Well, what's going on, Kitty?
You the real owner here, mister?
Miss Kitty and I own it together. What can we do for you?
My name's Tom Brees. This here is Red Temple.
I'm Sam Noonan.
They say this saloon's worth about $15,000. Is that right?
I guess that's about right. Why?
We want to buy it.
What?
I said we want to buy it. We'll give you $10,000 cash.
You just said yourself it's worth $15,000.
I hadn't finished. We'll give you $10,000 now and $5,000 a year for the next 2 years. That makes $20,000 in all.
You'll give us $20,000?
Go check at the bank. The first ten's on deposit there right now, and your banker, Mr. Botkin, will have the bill of sale drawn up by tomorrow morning.
You're awful sure of yourself, aren't you, Brees?
Now, Kitty, all they want to do is give us $20,000.
Where are you men from, anyway?
Abilene, we come in on the Santa Fe this morning, and our money is good.
This is kind of sudden, but $20,000...
What do we want to sell for, Sam? This is a good business.
Sam knows a good deal, miss. Trust him.
Sure, if it's legitimate, why not?
Well, I don't know.
Look, why don't you two talk it over and we'll come back in the morning and settle everything.
We'll talk it over, all right. Sam can't sell without me.
Oh. Well, you listen to him now. He knows what he's doing. We'll see you in the morning. Come on, Temple.
He's right, Kitty. We'd be crazy not to sell at that price.
I'll sleep on it, Sam.
Sure, you do that. But come on out back for a minute. I want to show you that new whiskey we ordered.
All right. I'm going out back for a minute, Matt.
Okay, Kitty.
Well, I'll be doggone. What do you make of that, Mr. Dillon? Sounds like a good deal, don't it?
Yeah. If, like Sam said, it's legitimate.
With L&M can you enjoy the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos through the modern miracle of the L&M Miracle Tip. Through the Pure White Miracle Tip, L&M tastes richer, smokes cleaner, draws easier. No other cigarette, plain or filter, gives you all the flavor you want, the rich, exciting flavor you get only from L&M. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live, live, live modern. Get L&M today.
Just that, and I'm still hungry. But it's a nice morning, though, ain't it, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, nice enough to get Kitty out bright and early.
What? Oh. Say, she looks mighty pretty, don't she?
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Miss Kitty.
Well, are you in business or out, Kitty?
In. I told them this morning I'm not selling.
Oh? No?
Well, how's Sam feel about it?
Sam's hardly speaking to me.
I'll bet.
Well, what decided you?
I honestly don't know, Matt. Maybe I just don't like those two. And I don't like their big hurry, either. They insist the deal has to be settled by Wednesday, day after tomorrow, no later. So I told them I needed more time, that's all. But they can't wait, so I made a definite no.
Well, it's your right, Kitty.
It sure is. Well, drop around later.
Huh? Okay.
So long, Miss Kitty.
Bye.
Well, that's that.
Yeah. Hey, look, Mr. Dillon.
What?
Them two fellas. You think they're fixing to follow her?
It won't do them any good. When Kitty makes up her mind, she doesn't often change it.
Marshal Dillon.
Now, hello, Brees. Devil.
How'd you know our names?
I've heard.
Oh, through Kitty Russell, no doubt.
Do you want to see me?
You say you're a good friend of Kitty's.
Yeah, that's right.
She tell you about turning down our offer?
She mentioned it, yeah.
She's making a mistake, Marshal.
Well, I think it's up to her what she does, don't you?
Oh, sure, sure. Maybe you could kind of change your mind.
What?
By Wednesday. There's $1,000 in it for you.
Better take it, Marshal.
I had, huh? Tell me something, Temple. Is that more or less than he's paying you?
Huh? Hey, now, look here.
Easy, Temple. What do you say, Marshal?
I don't know what your game is, Brees, but if I find out and I don't happen to like it, you're going to be in trouble. Both of you.
So come on, Temple.
Yeah. We'll meet again, Marshal.
Anytime.
My goodness, they're going to bear watching, ain't they?
Yeah, they sure are.
This is number 9.
Go ahead, Temple. Knock.
Mm-hmm. What do you want?
We want to talk to you, Kitty. In private.
Now, look here.
Just be quiet.
What do you think you're doing, busting into my room
like
this?
Shut up, else you'll get hurt.
Oh, so that's it. I should have known you were nothing but a hired gun when I first saw you, right. Temple. Let go of me!
Hit me, I'll show you.
Ah, Temple, now hold it. Leave her alone.
She slapped me.
I said leave her alone.
Yeah. You later, Kitty.
Kitty, you listen to me. I'm going to make it real short.
Then you're through now. Get out of here.
We're going to buy the Long Branch, Kitty. And we're going to buy it before Wednesday.
No, you're not.
Okay, Kitty. You were right about Red Temple. He is a gunman.
So? You're going to have him shoot me?
No. Your partner, Sam Noonan.
You wouldn't dare.
But if you go to the marshal or anybody else about it, he'll shoot you, too.
It'd be a pleasure.
No, look. You can't do anything to Sam.
We'll kill him, that's all. Think it over, Kitty. Think it over hard.
L&M is the modern cigarette that lets you get all the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos. No other cigarette you can buy, plain or filter, gives you the flavor that you get through the modern miracle of the L&M Miracle Tip. Through the pure white Miracle Tip, L&M tastes richer, smokes cleaner, draws easier. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live modern. Get L&M today.
Evening, Marshal.
Hello, Sam.
Pat, did you hear the news?
Oh, what news?
Well, Kitty, she's changed her mind. We're going to sell the Long Branch after all.
You are?
Here, ask her. You tell him, Kitty.
Well, about selling? It's true, Matt. Why should I turn down all that easy money? I was just being stubborn, I guess.
Well, you had to think it over some, Kitty. I understand that now. But at least it's your decision. Nobody pushed you into doing it.
No.
Come by tomorrow afternoon, Marshal. Drinks will be on the house.
Tomorrow?
Well, after we get through signing the papers at the bank. Gonna have a little celebration. I'll see you then.
Okay, Sam. Kitty? How come you changed your mind?
You really want to know?
Not if you want to tell me.
I did it for a friend, Matt. I did it for Sam.
Well, good morning, Matt.
It's past noon, Doc.
Well, then it's time to go eat some dinner.
All right, as soon as Chester gets back from the depot.
Depot? He go to meet somebody?
Oh, Chester meets everybody who comes in. But his excuse is that he's picking up the mail. Oh, sit on, Doc.
Ah, thank you, Matt. Oh, nice. Say, you know, Dodge ought to put Chester on the payroll as a kind of official greeter.
Yeah, he'd like that.
He wouldn't either. But it's kind of funny. He welcomes them, makes them feel at home, and then you come along and look them over and run half of them back out of town again.
Well, maybe that's why I'm not as popular around here as I might be.
Well, lawman isn't supposed to be popular, man. Not if he's doing his job right.
No, I guess so. You know, practically everybody has something on his conscience, Doc.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that is. Even of me.
Oh? Want to tell me about it, or wait till I find out and come after you, huh?
Well, no, I'll wait. It'll kind of give you something to think about on rainy afternoon.
Okay, Doc.
Mr. Dillon, would
you... Oh, hello, Doc. You here?
No, I'm not, Chester.
Oh, a friend of yours is in town, Mr. Dillon. I met him down at the depot.
Oh, who, Chester?
Glenn Horn. Do you remember him?
Sure I do. One of the richest gamblers in Abilene. What's he doing here?
He didn't say.
Oh, where is he?
He went to the Dodge house. He said he'd be by later.
Oh? Glenn Horn doesn't travel for pleasure. I think I'll go see him right now. Glenn, the whole thing begins to make sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does, but I don't like being taken for a fool, Matt. And I won't be in the middle on any kind of a crooked game.
You never have, I know of.
I don't even know this pair, this Brees and Temple.
Now, the game works better for them that you don't.
I'll admit I was talking some about my plans, but I never thought anybody'd try a trick like this.
Anything for a dollar, Glenn.
I suppose you've got some fool law here against shooting people.
Well, you take him back to Abilene and shoot him. I'd rather have Bill Hickok worry about it.
No, I'm serious, man.
And you leave the fighting to me, Glenn. If there is any.
Do you think his Red Temple's much of a gunman?
You never know till it happens. But if we handle it the way we plan, maybe there won't be any shooting.
Men like them never give up easy, Matt.
Well, let's find out. You ready to go?
I'm ready for anything. Come on.
Over to the bar. Have a drink. Now, we just started celebrating, Marshal. What'll you have?
You can draw me a beer, Sam.
Coming right up.
The deal's all set, huh, Kitty?
Signed and sealed, Matt.
Hello, Breeze. Temple.
Marshal.
Sam and Kitty have 10,000 cash in the bank, Marshal, and I've got the bill of sale. Right here.
That's fine.
Breeze?
Yeah. Glenn Horn.
Huh?
He got here just right, didn't he?
Sure did.
Let me handle this now, Temple.
Yeah.
Who is he, Matt?
Wait a minute, Kitty.
Well, Marshal Dillon.
Hello, Mr. Horn. What are you doing here?
Oh, just business. How you been, Marshal?
Oh, fine, thank you. Oh, this is Kitty Russell, Glenn Horn.
How do you do, Kitty?
Hello.
Here's your beer, Marshal.
Oh, thank you, sir. Sam, this is Glenn Horn. Sam Noonan.
Hello, Sam.
Have a drink. We're celebrating.
No, thanks. I'm taking the train back to Abilene in a few minutes.
What did he say?
Shut up, Temple. I thought you were here on business, Mr. Horn.
Well, I was, Marshal, but I've changed my mind. Matter of fact, I was going to make an offer for the Long Branch here.
You were going to buy it?
Well, I was going to try to buy it, Miss Kitty. I guess I told everybody in Abilene about it.
I even told him I was going to offer $15,000 for it.
Hey, excuse me, Mr. Horn. My name's Brees. My partner there is Red Temple. Hey, we just bought the Long Branch.
Well, that's fine, Mr. Brees. I wish you good luck with it.
Yeah, you haven't really changed your mind, have you?
Yes, I've decided I prefer Abilene to Dodge. I don't know why I was thinking of moving anyway.
Yeah, but it's for sale. We'll sell it to you, maybe even for $14,000.
You'll do what?
You stay out of this.
No, it's no use, Mr. Brace. My mind's made up. Goodbye, Miss Kitty.
Goodbye.
Sam.
Goodbye, Mr. Horn.
Good to see you again, Marshal.
Yeah, I'll look you up in Abilene sometime.
Bye.
We can't let him go, Brace.
He means what he says, Temple. Okay. Sam, I got something to tell you.
What?
Here's the bill of sale. You can have it back.
What do you mean?
We've changed our minds, too. We want our money.
What's going on here, anyway?
Deal's off. We want our money. We're going back to the bank and get it right now.
But you can't do that.
Yes, we can.
Wait a minute, Temple. I want to explain.
Marshal, just you keep out of this.
Not likely.
What is it, Matt?
It's real simple, Kitty. Glenn Horn was thinking of offering $15,000 for the Long Branch, and these two heard about it. So they bought it for $10,000, and we're going to make a fast $5,000 profit on it.
But they were going to pay us another $5,000 a year for 2 years.
Yeah, if you could find them. Men like them can disappear pretty easy.
Rotten crooks. I should have known.
You forgetting something, Kitty?
All right, Temple. I haven't said anything.
Oh. So that's it, huh? They've been threatening you, Kitty?
No, Matt.
You're looking at me, Temple, and you keep looking at me.
Shoot him, Temple.
I'd do it, Marshal.
Nobody else is armed, Temple. I guess it'll have to be me.
You first, anyway.
You killed him.
You should have hired a better gunman, Brees.
You can't touch me. I ain't done nothing illegal.
No, but you're leaving town after we go to the bank.
What?
You want your money back, don't you? Kitty, you and Sam come along, too. Glenn Horn is waiting there with $15,000 if you still want to sell.
No. No, that ain't fair.
Brees, you're lucky to get out of this alive. Now, you keep quiet. Are you, too? You still want to sell?
But I ain't even going to the bank, Marshal. After this, I'm leaving all such matters with Kitty.
Good. Then we're still going to be running this place, Sam. Let's go, Matt.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad. How can we make America a better place to live? First, we must keep our own homes in good condition. That goes without saying. Secondly, we must clean up slums. Slums hurt everyone, not only those who live in them. If there's a slum near you, it lowers the value of your house. If there's a slum anywhere, it breeds delinquency and crime, which you pay for in higher taxes. What can you do? Well, some slums are beyond repair and should be torn down, but some can be rehabilitated. Right now, local groups may be at work in your town seeking adequate housing for all our people. Find them. Join them. Write to ACTION. ACTION is the American Council to Improve Our Neighborhoods. It's a new national nonprofit organization designed to give you the information you need to protect the housing health of your community. Send for ACTION's free booklet. Write today to ACTION, Box 20, Radio City Station, New York 20, New York. This has been a CBS Radio public service announcement. And now, William Conrad.
You know, on the frontier, most men, even the gunfighters, wore only one gun. Because they felt if you couldn't get the job done with five bullets, you shouldn't get in arguments to begin with. And that was the West.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Lawrence Dobkin, Vic Perrin, and Harry Bartell. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke.
That was Gunsmoke and No Sail from 1956, and in my opinion, I kind of like the radio show more than I like the television show. The radio show is more hard-hitting and more adult, if you will. So, always a pleasant listen. Said there was a surprise coming up at the end. We're going to have that right now. It's the Old Gold Comedy Theater, and this features the famous silent movie star Harold Lloyd. He was coaxed into radio to speak this time. Of course, on radio, that's what you got to do. Use your voice and act and so forth with your voice. And Harold Lloyd, I understand, was not totally comfortable with that and had to take some time to overcome his fear of mic fright and talking on the air as opposed to acting in silent films. He was the host of this show, and it features some big-name Hollywood actors. We're going to listen today to a program from 1944. It's called True to Life.
California, the makers of Old Gold cigarettes present the Comedy Theater, the only radio program that brings you every week the greatest stars in the greatest comedies. Tonight's play, True to Life, starring Dick Powell, Victor Moore, and Rosemary DeCamp. Here is the director of the Old Gold Comedy Theater and your host, Harold Lloyd.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You know, someone once said, the movies should be more like life. And a wise man answered, life should be more like the movies. In tonight's story, True to Life, we're going to attempt to show that radio can be like both. Now, in the part of Link Ferris, I've cast Dick Powell.
Thank you. Well, say, Harold, you forgot to tell everyone what kind of work I do.
You're Link Ferris, and you and your partner, Fletcher Marvin, are the only two writers in radio making $1,000 a week apiece. Why, you're the kings of the daytime serials.
Well, kings ought to get more than that. I got to see my agent.
Wait a minute. You weren't supposed to say that.
All right, Harold. But you know, as one of the country's leading authorities on comedy, whom have you chosen to play Pop Porter? You know, that calls for one of the biggest actors in the character business.
Right. So one of the biggest characters in the acting business is going to play Pop Porter. Victor Moore.
It sure looks like I'm getting a business around here.
Why, Vic, Pop Porter's a wonderful guy. He spends most of his spare time with his inventions.
Yeah, well, say, Harold, who's going to play my daughter, Bonnie? Bonnie's an awful nice girl.
That's right, and she's pretty, too. Well, Bonnie's going to be played by Rosemary DeCamp.
Will I do, Pop?
Why, you're the spitting image of Bonnie. In fact, you are Bonnie.
Ah.
Now, is everyone satisfied as to which is which?
Which is Which is a fine show. I listen to it every Wednesday night.
Well, that's great. That's fine, Victor. All right, now then, let's get on with the story.
Far away.
All right, Harold.
Now, as Link Ferris, Dick, you and your partner, Fletcher Marvin, are being read the riot act by Mr. Twitchell, president of Lemon and Twitchell, the advertising agency that pays you to write the radio adventures of Kitty Farmer.
We've lost a million listeners, and if you don't know what's wrong with your scripts, I'll tell you. It's Kitty Farmer, your heroine. She's phony. She's counterfeit. Now, unless you make that girl real and believable, you're fired, both of you. And that's final.
I think the man's angry.
No. Fletch, old Twitchell's right. Life at 1,000 a week has made us soft, and our writing shows it.
Oh, you're nuts.
I'm going to go out and meet some real people.
Well, while you're about it, genius, see if you can find a real flesh and blood Kitty Farmer.
And how did you get along, Link?
Well, not so hot, frankly. Finally, I was so hungry that I dropped into a lunch wagon out in Sunnyside. I just finished ordering roast beef with all the trimmings when I discovered that all I had was a nickel. So I changed my order to a cup of coffee. The girl behind the counter brought me my roast beef anyway. Nothing I could say would convince her that I wasn't broke and hungry. But Bonnie Porter was like that, and she was pretty, too. Later, walking home with her, I said, well, tell me, Miss Porter, how come you're working in a lunch wagon?
Oh, because my brother wants to be a doctor, and my kid sister needs her teeth straightened. My pop works in a bakery. He hasn't had a raise in 10 years. Besides, well, here's where I live. Come on in.
No, you think it's all right?
Oh, sure. Don't be scared. Come on. Anyone home?
Well, now, wipe your feet good, Bonnie. And don't come tracking mud into the living room.
This is Mr. Ferris, everybody. My mother.
How do you do?
My brother, Clem.
Hello.
My kid sister, Twips.
Hello.
Hello.
And that's Mom's brother over there, Uncle Jake.
Well, how do you do, sir?
Hello.
Oh, Pop, come on up. I want you to meet someone.
Be up right away, Bonnie. Got my hands full.
Dad's working on one of his inventions. It's a hobby with him.
Well, Bonnie, I think I got one that'll work this time.
Pop, I want you to meet Mr. Ferris.
Huh? Oh, how you doing, Mr. Ferris? I'm glad to know you.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Porter? I'm glad to know you, sir. Tell me, what sort of an invention are you working on?
Invisible paint.
Oh.
Yeah. You see, you paint something with it and you can't see it.
Mm-hmm. That should be wonderful for camouflage.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about it, though.
Huh?
Yeah, I mixed up a batch of it and I put it in a can and I painted the can with it. And now I can't find it.
Some paint.
Mom, tell that brother of yours to mind his own business.
Mr. Ferris, Uncle Jake and Pop don't speak to each other.
Where are you from, young man?
Mom, Mr. Ferris came into the diner tonight and he was hungry, so I thought maybe he could live here with us until he finds a job and a place to stay.
Finds a job? Place to stay?
Well, the way you followed me around, I knew you didn't have any place to sleep tonight.
Well, now look here, Bonnie. I'm not running a hotel.
Oh, don't pay no attention, Mr. Ferris. We got plenty of room. Mom, your brother can sleep down the cellar with the rest of the mice.
Now, you sure you're not having trouble with the police, Mr. Ferris?
Oh, no, I,
Well, I guess you can stay tonight, anyway.
Oh, gee, swell.
Oh, quiet, Twips. Go and get some fresh sheets.
He's got a shifty look in his eye. Tell your brother he's looking in the mirror.
And that's how it all started. I had found a real Kitty Farmer. It was Bonnie Porter. I stayed on with the family and let them think I was out looking for a job. Actually, though, I was taking down everything they said. No one suspected that Fletch and I were putting the Porters on the air as the Farmer family, true to life. Not even the president of Lemon and Twitchell, who said,
"Boys, I've read your first script. Congratulations. Why, Kitty Farmer's warm. She's real. She's human. And that family of hers, oh, they're wonderful. If you keep it up, you can keep it up.
Well, oh, there's plenty more material where that came from, Mr. Twitchell.
Fine, fine.
Say, hey, Link, what kind of a dame is this, Bonnie?
Oh, very ordinary. You wouldn't like her, Fletch, not your type at all.
Hmm. Now, suppose Bonnie, I mean Kitty, met another fellow... Rich, suave man about town. You know, give the story new complications. Don't you think, huh?
No, I don't think. Go on, pound that typewriter.
Mm-hmm.
by the way, Mr. Ferris, when are you going to get a job?
Oh, now, Mom, Link hasn't really had a chance to look yet.
Say, there is a job down at the bakery.
Oh, Link, you could take it until something better comes along.
Well, thanks, but I'm expecting something.
If you ask me, old twips, get away from that radio. Your food's getting cold.
Okay, Mom, I'm just tuning in on the Farmer family.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you another episode in the new series, The Farmer Family. As our story opens tonight, Pop Farmer...
That's a pretty bad show.
I've got a great idea for a submarine that flies.
Some submarine.
Don't you think we better have some music? Here, I'll change it.
Oh, sit down, Mr. Ferris. We want to hear this.
If your father had a little more gumption, he'd ask for a raise.
That reminds me of someone I know.
Sounds just like Mom.
No.
Link, what's the matter?
Well, I've got the...
Hold your nose and drink some water.
Oh, there's only one thing that will stop it. I gotta sing.
Now, Mr. Ferris, you get away from that piano. We want
well,
to hear this.
So there she was. Yes, there she was.
Link, but I didn't know you could sing.
Well, that's just it. Your mother thinks I don't want to work because I won't take that job at the bakery. I've been trying to do something with my music. Oh, listen, Bonnie, do we have to have that radio on?
No. Uncle Jay, turn the radio off.
I want to hear this program, if you don't mind.
Tell him we do mind. There. Say, Link, do you know Nellie Gray?
I think so. How does it go?
Oh, my darling, Nellie Gray, they have taken you. Now, who is that?
Well, that's probably the neighbors complaining. I'll go.
And who was at the door, Link?
Well, it was good old Fletch, my A-W-O-L partner.
A-W-O-L?
Yes, a wolf on the loose.
Oh.
He passed me by as though I were a total stranger and asked to use the telephone. Kept his finger on the hook while he called the cops and reported a phony holdup. He must have wanted to meet Bonnie pretty badly because he was dressed fit to kill. I was wondering what the bounty was on a wolf pelt by the time he said...
Well, I'm afraid I must be going. And Miss Porter, tonight has been an adventure in more ways than one.
Oh, thank you. If you ever get held up again in this neighborhood, drop in. There's always someone home.
Well, I'll just see Mr. Fletcher to the door.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Now, listen here, Prince Charming. Get back to the castle and start typing.
Hey, Link. Nice setup. I'll be glad to move in and do the research. Say, that Bonnie's a honey.
Listen, brother.
Mr. Ferris. I want to speak to you a moment, privately.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Ferris.
Ferris?
Yes, I'll see what I can do for you.
Now then, Mr. Ferris, I just thought I'd better tell you, at 5 o'clock in the morning, you either get up and go to work at the bakery, or you get up and get out.
What time did you say?
5 o'clock.
Oh, that's what I thought you said.
O'clock in the morning. To anyone who isn't used to it, that's an awfully early hour to get up.
You can say that again, brother. You get out of bed, you're half groggy. The room is dark. First thing you know, you trip over your slippers and fall flat in your face. You start to get up and you hit your head against a bureau drawer. That certainly is one of life's minor annoyances.
Why be irritated? Light an old gold. Yes, smokers, there's a world of solid comfort and pleasure in an old gold.
So you're up now and somebody forgot to turn on the heat. Your teeth are chattering like a magpie. You take one step, and this time you fall over one of Junior's toys.
Why be irritated? Light an old gold. Old Gold's tobaccos are conditioned with apple honey, and this special conditioning process helps hold in the natural moisture, helps prevent cigarette dryness.
By now you're in the kitchen. The coffee is weak and cold, and the toast tastes like charcoal.
Why be irritated? Light an old gold. It's such a grand-tasting smoke. Old Gold is a unique blend of many choice tobaccos, including imported Latakia tobaccos for extra flavor. Extra flavor, extra pleasure, plus apple honey, which helps guard against cigarette dryness. That's Old Gold. Try a pack and see for yourself why they've tripled in popularity.
Yep, this is Harold Lloyd again. Mom, Pop, Jake, Fletch, Link, and Bonnie. All of them true to life. Well, let's get back to our confusion. So, you took the job at the bakery to stay on at the Porter's, eh, Link?
Yes, but that wasn't the worst of it. Fletch started a campaign for Bonnie, sent her orchids and a note. It was a dirty trick, and besides, my conscience was beginning to bother me. So right after dinner, I went to see Fletch at our apartment.
All right, so I did send Bonnie some flowers.
Oh, I'm through. As of now, consider the farmer family orphans.
Why, Link, old man, you're not jealous of little harmless me, are you?
Well, that's got nothing to do with it. The Porters are nice people, and I'm through using them.
Well, it's not hurting them any.
It'll hurt them plenty if they ever find out about it. And I can't keep that radio of theirs out of order forever. Oh, it wouldn't be so bad if we could just do something for them.
Well, I'm for that, Link. Listen, I'll go down to the bakery in the morning and fix it up with the boss for the old man to get a raise, a big one. We'll pay for it ourselves. Hey, that'll go good on the show, too. Pop gets a raise.
Can't we ever do one human thing without getting our pound of flesh?
I knew you wouldn't let me down. Hey, you better get to bed. You have to be at that bakery at 5.
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting so little sleep these days, I've got white circles under my eyes.
Yes, sir, Link. Why, the boss ain't never given anybody over a $2 raise, and he gave me 10. I'm in the upper brackets now.
Oh, you deserved it, Pop.
Well, I bet you if that donut machine of mine had worked, he'd given me 20. If only they'd have come out with holes in them.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I think we should have cocktails and some of those hoary dories before supper.
Link, there's some place I want you to take me tonight.
Where?
Well, it's kind of a surprise, and if I tell you, you might not take me. Well, how about it?
Well, of course I'll take you. Any place you say.
Well, you were pretty puzzled, weren't you, Link?
Plenty. Bonnie wouldn't tell me a thing. She just kept saying, come on, come on, you'll find out. And then before I knew it, we were outside the apartment building where Fletch and I live.
You were winning the spot. What did you do?
Well, I tried to hang back, think of excuses, anything. But I was so busy trying to keep the doorman and the elevator boy from recognizing me that we were right in front of my apartment door before I realized it.
Bonnie, my sweet,
hello.
Come in. There's a roaring fire, a bottle of champagne just for the two of us.
And baby makes three.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. So nice of you to have me up. Glad to see you, Mr. Marvin. Glad to see you. Hey, got yourself quite a place here.
Bonnie, I thought we had a date. I didn't know you were bringing Mr. Ferret along.
Ferris is the name. Well, it's a nice dressing robe you're wearing, Mr. Marvin.
Thank you.
Were you just getting up or were you going to bed?
Well, I wasn't expecting
you. I guess you think it's pretty nervy of me, Mr. Marvin, to bring Link here.
Oh, no, not
well,
at all.
You know, you're always saying there's nothing you wouldn't do for me, and Link here sings very well. Link, Mr. Marvin is a big radio executive, and maybe he could get you into radio.
Well, think of that. Bonnie, I never transact business at night.
Oh, all I want you to do is to listen to Link sing.
Oh, I'd be glad to.
Good.
Some other time.
Oh, no. Bonnie brought me here to sing, and I'm going to sing. Well, sir, there she was. Yes, there she was. But I...
I did go to his apartment. I took you with me, didn't I?
Yeah, but you made the date before you even asked me. Suppose I hadn't gone.
You keep insinuating things, and so help me, I'll push you off the top of this bus.
I warned you about that fella. He's a wolf.
You should talk. You go out chasing every night.
I've told you a million times I don't go chasing.
Should never have done anything for you in the first place. Maybe Mom's right.
Nah, you're beginning to sound more and more like her.
I hate you. I feel like I'm going to cry.
Well, go ahead, if it'll make you feel any better.
wouldn't give you the satisfaction.
Then don't cry.
Why don't you go to her?
No, there is no her. There's only you. Now there. Are you satisfied now that you made me say it?
Link, me? You mean you love me?
Well, don't act so surprised.
Oh, Link. Oh, darling. I can't wait to tell Mom and Pop.
Mom, Pop, everybody, wake up. Well, what are you all doing up?
We've been waiting for you. You and Mr. Ferris.
What's the matter?
Mr. Ferris, this is Mr. Mammal.
I'm your Uncle Jake's lawyer, and we're suing you and Marvin, the advertising company, for $100,000.
How do you like that, Mr. Ferris?
What in the world are you talking about, Uncle Jake?
Bonnie, whatever happens, I want you to know that I meant every word I said tonight.
Huh?
Yeah, him and that Fletcher Marvin, they're friends. They've been spying on us. We got the radio fixed and heard the whole program. We're that crazy farmer family. You've been writing down everything we said and done. Spies, Gestapo.
This isn't true, Link.
Oh, it's quite true, Miss Porter. And he's going to pay.
Yeah, funny.
But, Link, you were broke. We tried to help you.
Well, I never said I was broke. Fletch and I just got started, and it seemed to get out of hand.
Yeah, you made me an old crackpot with a lot of crazy inventions.
And me a nagging old hen.
And me a loafer.
Positive defamation of character.
You made a fool of me, you and Fletch. You've been laughing at me.
Bonnie, tonight I practically asked you to marry me. That was on the level.
Mr. Ferris, you're not welcome here. You better go.
Yeah, go on.
Is that the way you feel about it, Bonnie?
How do you think I feel? Lying to me. Well, you even proposed to me just to get material for that radio program of yours.
No, you can't believe that.
I believe you're the lowest form of animal life, and I never want to see you again.
Yeah, now Jake's the head man around here. I'll never get a break. I'm a lost soul.
You know, Mr. Lloyd, I think I can give Pop Porter some good advice.
You can? What?
Why be irritated? Light an old gold. Yes, many's the time you'll come up against one of life's little annoyances, and then perhaps you'll heed our friendly suggestion when we say,
why be irritated? Light an old gold.
Now, a cigarette that's dry is a cigarette that's hot, burning, and harsh. And I don't have to tell you how a cigarette like that cuts down your smoking pleasure, becomes one of life's little annoyances.
But Old Gold is a unique blend of many fine tobaccos, including a touch of costly, extra-flavorful Latakia tobacco. It's conditioned with apple honey. This special conditioning process helps hold in the natural moisture, helps guard against cigarette dryness to give you more smoking pleasure. And since we all want more smoking pleasure, it's easy to see why Old Golds have tripled in popularity.
Yes, not only tripled in popularity, but billions of them are being shipped to our forces overseas. And remember, the greater the shipment, the greater the pleasure to our service men and women who smoke Old Gold. Now, we're extremely sorry there aren't enough Old Golds to satisfy all demands, and we're doing our level best to assure fair distribution. But keep in touch with your dealer and ask again for Old Golds. Because it's certainly worth keeping in touch with a cigarette conditioned with apple honey to help prevent cigarette dryness. That's Old Gold.
Well, Link, Bonnie would have nothing to do with either of you. And the Porters sued. What about Mr. Twitchell?
Well, Harold, when Fletch and I went down to see him the next morning, he seemed a little upset.
Upset? Why, you blasted idiot, you've ruined Lemon and Twitchell. That's what you've done. I paid my good money for writers, creators, not a couple of peeping Toms.
Well, it was a good idea. It just backfired, that's all.
Lawsuits, that's what I'm getting. You're fired, both of you. Then you'll never work again. I'll see to that.
Now, wait a minute. I think I've got it. Now, look, we'll stay on the air. Tell the public there is a farmer family, but their real name is Porter. Tell them that everything they've heard or about to hear is true.
That's an admission of guilt.
Sure, but you don't have a case anyway. So Fletch and I went on the air and told the truth. The program stood the country on its ear. Overnight, the Porters became famous.
Yeah, I'll say we did. They took our pictures and people started coming to the house to meet us. We finally had to charge admission. In fact, the house is full of tourists when Lawyer Mammal rushed in all out of breath.
Mr. Porter, I've got great news. We're not suing for $100,000. We're suing for $1 million.
$1 million?
Yes. Now, we've got a lot of papers to sign. Let's get this crowd out of here. Everybody out.
Well, now, what's the trouble?
There's no trouble at all. We're going to get $1 million.
$1 million? Why? We can have a house in Long Island.
Yeah.
You better take care of this house first. I'm packed and leaving.
But, Bonnie, where are you going?
To the YWCA to live.
But why?
Because you've turned this house into a freak show. You're suing because they showed us up to be a bunch of screwballs on that radio program. Well, we're acting like screwballs, and I won't have any part of it. Goodbye.
But, Bonnie, wait!
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I know what's eating her. She's in love with one of those radio writers.
Well, let her go. We've got just as good a case without her.
Oh, have we? Here, give me those papers.
Don't tear those up. Are you going crazy? Well,
Bonnie's right. I just realized it. We are a lot of daffodils if we claim that farmer family has hurt us any. Didn't they make me foreman down at the bakery? Ain't my picture on every bread wrapper? They've done us a favor.
If you think we're going to pass up a chance to make
it... Shut up, Jake. And Pop, you're right. And now, Mr. Mammal, we won't be needing you.
No, go chase yourself an ambulance.
Now, you look here. I put a lot of work on this case, and I...
Well, send your bill to Jake here. He hired you. Sue him. That's an idea. I wish you would sue him.
Why, you can't...
Oh, on your way. On your way.
Now, Mom, you go after Bonnie and bring her home. And I'll take care of that love situation. I ain't an inventor for nothing.
But, Pop, that love situation looks pretty hopeless to me.
Oh, don't worry, Harold. Me and Mr. Twitchell fixed it up so that I could get the boys over to the house and get Bonnie to decide which one of them she was in love with. And broadcast it, too, on the radio. So from Maine to California, they'd know her answer.
Broadcast it? Did Bonnie agree to that?
Oh, Bonnie didn't know nothing about it. Neither did Link or Fletch. You see, them fellas from the radio station came here beforehand and put a microphone in a vase of flowers right on our own dining room table. Oh, it was exciting. And then when time came to go on the air, I just managed to get Bonnie up close to that vase. She didn't even suspect a thing when in walks Link and Fletch.
Pop, what do you mean by bringing them in here? I don't want to see them.
Oh, yes, you do.
Oh, no, I don't.
Well, if that's the way you feel about it.
Oh, no, you don't. No, nobody leave this room until we talk everything over.
There's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, you're right. Let's get out of here.
Now, wait, boys. Bonnie, you know you're in love with one of these boys. 30 million people out there are waiting for you to make up your mind. Now, which one of them are you going to marry?
I'm not going to marry anyone. Is that clear? I won't stand for this.
Now, just a minute. Just come back here to this table. I'm not through yet. You listen to me, Bonnie. Ever since the night Link left, you've been mooning around the house like a stray cat.
Oh, I have not.
Don't let her fool you, folks.
What?
I want to repeat that.
Now, Bonnie, look, Bonnie, if you're just being stubborn, I want to repeat that I love you.
Yeah. Hey! Now we're getting someplace, folks.
Are you feeling all right, Pop?
Now, look, Bonnie, let's not fight like a couple of kids.
I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man in the world.
Bonnie, does that mean you're going to marry Fletch?
It does not.
Really? Well, at least he's an improvement over you.
Looks like she's proposing to you, Fletch. Doesn't it, folks?
Well, I'd consider it a very great honor, Bonnie, but...
Bonnie, he's a Jekyll and Hyde. You wouldn't put up with him for a week, and he knows it.
Link's right. You know, when night begins to fall, something happens to me. My fangs begin to drip.
Why, what do you mean?
Well, he likes to prowl.
Oh, wonderful. We'll prowl together.
Hey, but Bonnie...
Well, in that case, I'll leave you two lovebirds
alone. Now, Link, wait a minute,
Link.
Now.
Yeah, hey, come back here, Link. Wait a minute.
All right, Bonnie, but let's stop this pretending. Are you going to marry me or not?
Well, if you don't mind taking a girl who's almost been turned down...
Whoopee! She's going to marry Link. I hope you folks listening in are as happy about this as I am. Whoopee! Hey! Oh, my goodness, I broke your mother's best vase.
Pop, what's that microphone doing there?
Why, we're on the air right now.
So you boys have been up to some of your old tricks. Why, you...
Now, Bonnie, wait.
Oh, I know you, Link Ferris.
horses. The boys didn't know anything more about it than you did.
They didn't? Oh. Oh, Link, darling.
Oh. Folks, this is Pop Porter signing off saying, ain't it wonderful? Mom and me started out the same happy way. And I've never regretted a minute of it. Have I, Mom? No, I haven't. I mean up to now.
Now, this is Harold Lloyd,
Victor Moore,
Dick Powell,
and Rosemary DeCamp,
saying good night to you for Old Gold. And I hope you'll be with us again next Sunday when the Old Gold Comedy Theater presents Linda Darnell, Lee Bowman in Vivacious Lady. See you then.
Presented by arrangement with Paramount Pictures, producers of And Now Tomorrow. We thank the Fitch Bandwagon for the appearance of Dick Powell. Victor Moore is now making Duffy's Tavern at Paramount. And this is Bob Williams saying good night until next week. And in the meantime, don't let little annoyances get you down. Why be irritated? Light an Old Gold. It's conditioned with apple honey to help guard against cigarette dryness and give you more smoking pleasure.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
It's time to shutter the windows and lock the doors for another week, but we will be back next week with another selection of great old-time radio, and I hope you can be there to help me listen to it. Until then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.